You're about to enter the world of Michael Zavala.
Okay, yes.
Now's your chance to turn back.
Hello.
You're listening to MZ Michael Zavala.
MZ.
This is MZ Now.
MZ.
You know what would be really nice to have right now?
What's that?
My new Apple Watch.
Uh-oh.
Did they ship yours?
No, not yet. I think they're going to wait to ship it to like the very last minute. Because mine says from the 6th to the 12th.
Oh, mine should be coming in next week.
Oh.
So when I ordered my first one,
yeah,
I waited 3 hours after the... And this was when they first came out. I waited 3 hours after they started selling them online.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get in the first batch. And they were going to ship that month. So I ordered it in March. And I didn't get it till almost July.
Oh my gosh.
But that was like the first Apple Watch.
Yeah. Well, I was going to order it like 2 days after it came out. And then if I wouldn't have done it then, it would have came like October 1st.
Oh,
that
yeah.
week, October 1st yeah. or whatever. And I waited like 2 more days and now it's like...
But you ordered it on Friday though, right?
I think Friday or Saturday, one of those.
All right, you must have been yeah. Saturday because I ordered it Friday night.
Yeah.
And it said I was going to get it next week. So I just feel really naked without it. I don't have any jewelry on. I'm not a big jewelry guy, but... I like to have something on my dainty wrist.
I think you should be a jewelry guy.
Yeah, you really should be.
Yeah.
Like a mobster, an Italian guy.
Yes.
Yeah, well, at least a nice rope chain.
No, a Middle Eastern guy.
Like what? a golden chain around the tracksuit that I normally wear.
Not Middle Eastern, Eastern European with the tracksuit.
You need to be like one of those biker guys who has a ring on every finger.
Yeah.
Like the skull ones. Like, that'd be badass. Yeah.
Well, you know,
you should do that.
Or growing up, I really loved, yeah, exactly. growing up, I really loved Jerry Lewis, and he always had a pinky ring. I always thought it'd be really cool to have a pinky ring.
I mean, just get the Coke nail with it and you can
yeah,
that
absolutely.
Off, for sure.
I could do that.
That
voice you hear is Emily Griefer. Did I say that right?
Okay. Yes, you're right. Yay. Thank you.
She's a local comedian. I've seen her name all over the place and we're like, we need to have her on. So she's joining us today. We're going to get to know her a little bit today. And then Eric finally has that game that he's been talking about.
Yeah.
Are you still working on it? It looks like you're preparing.
Oh, I'm cutting the little card.
Did you find scissors here?
No.
They're in that. I think they're in that drawer. Do we have scissors here, Spider?
It's okay. I don't. I'll just do it.
Yeah, there are.
I'll just do old style.
You mean just ripping the paper up?
You don't have a knife back there?
No, I should with my outfit though.
Yeah,
but not today. Today I'm dressed up like.
You're definitely wearing a kid's pajama top
for sure. I was trying to think of the guy that was the Pixar guy.
I don't know.
Dan Lasseter or whatever. Is that his name? Dave.
Yeah. I was gonna say you look like you should be a cartoonist. You look like a cartoonist.
A Sunday right morning now. Cartoonist.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't do the black and white. I go all full color.
Right.
I had one of those shirts, but I had a SpongeBob on it.
Did you buy it from
And I wore it to school.
Cakeworthy?
No, this That's was like way
this
back
is a,
when.
This is a designer Looney Tunes t-shirt, by the way.
I got mine from Walmart.
What designer?
I don't know. I just found it on FBI.
It's Tom Ford.
Tom Ford.
Yeah. It was like $25 or something, so really high end. But it looks good though, right? I like it.
What was that one?
You know, I was gonna do this whole
Ed
thing.
Ed Hardy or whatever.
Ed Hardy, yeah.
Whatever that.
Yeah. Affliction.
Was.
No, well, Ed Hardy was like the wasn't that the whole? It was like the tattoo shirts.
Yeah, with the rhinestones on them.
Yeah. God, I'm.
Yeah,
so glad
Affliction
we're past
was the
that.
One with the big cross.
Yeah, Affliction was the UFC Eagles. Stuff. So yeah. Affliction t-shirts were what you wore when you were out with the boys.
Yeah.
Like Tom,
and I did wear it when I was out with the boys.
And Tom Hardy is what you wore when you were out on a date.
Yeah.
Oh, or, yeah.
That looked great... gross. That,
well, I mean,
that
they were all gross.
Well,
Tom,
yeah.
Tom Hardy is like middle school, like trying to be cool. And then Affliction is like what you wear on your bike right before you fall off and get road rash.
Right.
Like, that's like that type of shirt you see people in. Yeah.
That's a great analogy, by the way. That's why you're a comedian. You should write for us and we'd be a lot funnier. There was something I was going to ask you about, Clark. Something about James Bond. You know about it, right?
Yeah. Ask me. Anything.
Tom Hardy? Is that his name? Tom?
Yeah.
It's not Tom Hardy.
No, but I know. I know.
What's his name?
Yeah, I thought it was Tom Harding or Hardy.
The actor?
Ed Hardy. Ed Hardy is the brand. Tom Hardy is the actor.
Okay.
We've been saying Tom. That's why it's throwing me off.
Yeah.
Anyway, but it reminded me of this. So Clark's a big, what is it called? James Bond?
Yeah. 007.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Van. Not James Bond Jr., the actual James Bond Sr.
Right.
It was reported this week that Tom Hardy, not to be confused with the designer,
Ed Hardy.
is going to be the new James Bond.
Okay.
Is that official?
I thought it was. It was on the internet.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was too.
Well, is he British?
Yeah. Okay. I know. I had to think about that too.
I thought you were going to say, was he hot? I was going to say yes.
Well, I mean, I'll defer to you
on
that.
Do y'all know what he looks like?
and that's the thing is that like every movie that I've seen him in, it's almost like he's bald, really short hair. It's not like it's parted or groomed very nice. And he has, if he becomes James Bond, he's going to be the first
dapper.
Well, he's going to be like the first James Bond that's going to be, have that action star kind of body. I mean, Daniel Craig did, but I mean, you look at Daniel Craig with his shirt off compared to Sean Connery with his shirt off. I mean,
and I do every morning.
Oh, I mean,
it's right, part Eric? Of my, am I right?
Yes.
Yeah. Sean Connery in the morning.
Yeah.
Daniel Craig at night. But he's very built, and that's the thing is like now we're gonna have a really big James Bond, and the whole idea.
Okay.
I think he can slim down though for the role.
Yeah, because it's one of those things where it's like, you know, he shouldn't be as big as their top level henchmen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you guys are familiar with what Tom Hardy looks like, but he does look like a bounty hunter.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's a British look personally. Right. Like,
and every movie I've seen him in, he's had an American accent, which I'm not saying that that's a bad thing here or there.
Well,
but
when he played Bane, he kind of had like a, I don't know what kind of accent that was. A distorted voice.
And, you know, I think it would be good, but I was kind of hoping that they might find someone, I don't know, new, someone kind of.
What if they went transgender, not transgender necessarily, but they gender swapped it, and it was a female James Bond.
I would like that.
A
female James Bond. Who would that even be?
Lady G. So the first.
What'd you say, Spider?
Lady G is.
Oh, Lady G. Yeah.
Well, Emily doesn't know her, so
yeah. I don't know. I'm sorry, Lady Gaga.
No,
like,
close.
So the thing is, like, I think I heard, who's the girl from the Harry Potter movies? Emily Watson.
Yes.
Yeah. No, Emma Watson. Yeah, that's her name. Yeah, yeah.
Ed Hardy.
I'm looking at you.
Y'all are killing it with these names.
Yeah.
And she said that. Well, she thought that James Bond being a female would be a good deal where they would actually, she would have like a team with her to work with her and they would actually act as a team. And
why
I
does
said,
she need a team though?
Yeah.
And I said,
she's a girl? She's
no,
a
that's
woman?
Not, well, yeah. That's
she's
what she
a girl
brought.
Gang? That apparently.
And that's, I'm like, well.
So Charlie's Angels, basically?
I was going to say that or it'd be like Mission Impossible at that point. And I mean, James Bond is a guy that normally operates on his own.
Well, I'll throw my actress in there. So Scarlett Johansson, she can take the role and have it.
But she's not British.
She can change her voice. Yeah. Just change her voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like it's like having a British Superman, which we do now.
But I'm just gonna throw it out there. If that's a big gamble if they go that route.
Well, they're going that route.
What?
It's happening
with the
with Ed Hardy.
Oh, no. I'm talking about like with the female.
Oh, got you.
And the thing is, it's like I kind of go to watch a James Bond movie because I want to see all the action. I want to see him either get shot down or score the lady. And I don't know how you really, I don't know. It's kind of a male fantasy with me, all right? A very male heterosexual
because women
fantasy.
Don't have a fantasy like that either?
Yeah.
Like,
No. They could jump
off a building.
And, you know what? And they might stand to lose that too. But the thing is, it just, I don't think it really works for James Bond hero.
Now, I have my suggestion, and I'm listening to everything you're saying right now.
She hears
you. You want to see someone score with a lady, I get that.
Right.
The transition from male to female is a little bit of a stretch for the James Bond role. So you should pick someone who maybe kind of looks like Daniel Craig and is the most powerful woman in Hollywood. I vote Ellen DeGeneres.
Ooh.
That's great, actually. And she's kind of mean, apparently.
Oh,
that's what I'm saying. She can kick ass.
Right. And you know what? She can wear pants.
Right. That's what I'm saying. She wears a suit all the time. There you go. Casted the movie.
Right, they'll dye her hair black. It'll be great.
So overall, yes. You are cool with Tom Hardy.
At the moment, yeah. I think he's the better one that I've heard. I thought Idris Elba would have been great, but you know, he's in his 50s.
Is he?
Daniel Craig's in his 60s.
No. He's in his 50s. He's just
really?
Like, yeah,
sure.
He's,
oh, he
yeah.
just looks old. Okay.
But it's yeah. Well, it's the James Bond universe, like they've got a real big weird thing when it comes to approaching 50 because by the time Roger Moore turned 50, they kind of turned into more cartoons than action movies because he was moving slow. Now, I know that in the 80s and now it's 30 years difference. We do great things with working out and HGH and everything out there and personal trainers, but it did kind of look more, I don't know, slow overall. Like he just didn't move like the way an action movie or action star should. But I don't know. But I also say Timothy Dalton's my favorite Bond of all time.
Do we not have Lady G clips on the board anymore? Because I can't find it. I mean, look at this whole time.
I don't.
I actually made up the whole James Bond thing so I can look for the Lady G clips.
Just look at your browser history. You can find it.
Whenever we need filler, they just ask me about James Bond.
Right. So. And I figured that would buy me 5 minutes to go through the board to look for Lady G, but I guess Spider removed it. Did you remove the Spider for your own personal gain?
I haven't seen half of that stuff on there.
Well, I was just going to add, but everything you were saying, what was that?
Lady G with a client?
No, everything you were saying about
it kind of goes with this one too. Hang on.
Yahoo! About like you fantasizing yourself in that role and like getting the woman or being an action star or whatever the case may be. I would think it'd be also just as easy to visualize yourself like wanting a woman that can do all those things, and then you can visualize yourself as like her winning the male in there as you winning you. And
yeah, but then
like, I could one day be with a woman like that.
Well, true. I mean, I like strong women. Yeah. But it kind of comes down to like you put them in some of the certain situations that I've seen Bond in. Like one of Bond's arch nemesis is Jaws, who is played by Richard Kiel. And he was 7'4", a monster of a man. And it's like, this guy's 7'4" versus a 5'5" woman that's 120 pounds. Now, it's a whole believability thing.
They're going to need a bigger boat.
They're going to, I mean, we're just going to have like, I know that there's a little bit of suspension of, especially with the James Bond movie. There's definitely a suspension of disbelief, but it can't be to the point where I'm just like, ugh.
Come on.
Yeah.
Hey, you need to start the Vanessa Cater for Bond
campaign. Oh,
yeah. Okay. Vanessa could beat up somebody.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. We'll pitch it to her. We'll try to get her on the show here in a little bit. I haven't talked to her in a long time. She hasn't really hearted my Instagram post recently. So. Mostly because I haven't posted anything.
Just slide in those DMs and then see what happens.
Oh, I do. Almost every week. I'll watch something I know she's in, and I'm like, hey, I just saw you randomly pop up on this TV show I know that you're in.
It's not creepy at all.
Right.
Not creepy.
She just hearts it, doesn't respond. Anyway, all right, you want to play this game real quick?
Oh yeah, I don't know, we're gonna do it now. I don't know how Spider's gonna play, but
it doesn't matter, he didn't like playing games anyway. He only plays games with hearts.
That's right.
Okay,
break them.
So okay, so basically I'm gonna just pass around some cards randomly, and they're gonna be normally the normal game is like it's just like a few sentences. But for this game I just got famous movie quotes.
Okay.
So what you do is somebody will draw a card, and on the card, it will have how you're going to say the quote. So like, let's say you pull like nerd. Everybody has to go around the table and then do a nerd, however they think a nerd person would sound with their quote.
Mm-hmm.
And then the person who draw the card will pick who they feel did the best impression.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yes.
No,
okay. it's good that I'm not there for that.
Okay,
I'm just gonna do anything.
Are we an improv team now? Is this what
basic?
This is?
Yeah, basically, it's what it is.
All right, so what are we calling this game?
I have no idea. What? I don't know.
I think I have no idea.
This movie, that'll work.
Movie quote impression game.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just gonna pass to you.
Thank you.
And you could pick any of these two.
Can
quotes
we look at them now?
Yeah, you can look at them. Michael, are you gonna play?
Yeah, I'll play.
Okay,
let me go over there.
So you can use any of the two quotes.
Oh, my mask is in my pocket.
I guess I'll draw. And then...
oh my God, he's coming out.
I know. Oh my gosh.
And he put his mask on.
Right?
I love
that's
it.
That's what took so long.
Studio policy. That's studio policy.
Oh my God. Okay, so then I'm going to mix these up too.
I think I got AIDS and Corona from walking out of this room.
So I'm not going to go since I pulled the card.
Okay.
You all are going to go. So whatever quote that you pick, you have to do it as you're being choked.
Oh, that's easy for me.
All right.
Oh, God.
You want to go first, Clark?
Yeah. I'm actually probably going to choke myself. Is that fine?
That's fine. Do whatever you want.
I was thinking that. I was like, can I choke him?
but please don't look. Well, wait a minute. No. Hold on.
He usually has to pay somebody to choke
him. Hold on. Wait a minute.
Hey, where's she at? Is that what the unzip voice was? The unzip sound was?
All right.
Eating phone. Oh.
What was that?
Are you throwing up now?
Right.
I thought you were taking a
Did you do it?
Well, sometimes I have to choke myself when that goes down. So, do you want me to do it again?
I think I did.
Is it weird for you because you're not in your closet with the belt around your neck?
Yeah, while listening to NXS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I figured this is kind of out of your norm.
Right. You want me to do it again?
No, I'm good.
That's fine.
Right, I saw enough or heard enough. Really.
And I got to be choked?
Yeah. Oh, you don't have to, but I mean, you would do the sound.
That's fine. I enjoy being choked.
Okay, yes. Okay, then. Go ahead.
I don't even... I don't know what I can do. I can't do it. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I didn't even really choke myself. I was just acting.
The ending was good. Like, it was a good ending. Like,
yeah, I didn't know how to start.
Like, yeah.
That was my fault.
Most people don't know how to start choking.
Right. Yeah. You just got to jump right in with both feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Off the ground.
All right. I'll pretend like I...
Oh, sorry.
Oh, you're fine.
That's the audience.
I'll pretend like I haven't done this before.
Oh.
She's really acting now.
I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Sorry, but I also feel like it went with the impression.
Yeah.
Or with the
quote. A little Marlon Brando in there.
Yeah. All right. So who picks? I pick whoever
I think the winner would be. I guess Emily.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought she did really well.
Thank
you guys. I practiced.
So. Yeah.
So, okay. So then you go next. So then you would pick out of these cards.
What is the game called for real?
The one that I played was called Utter Nonsense.
And what is this? You just made this up?
Yeah, I made it up.
It
doesn't have movie clips in the Utter Nonsense. It has like actual like the sentences.
Yeah.
Like funny sentences.
I didn't know you made this up. This is great then. We should play it.
Okay.
Maybe if we have time in the end of the show, we'll do like another round.
Go ahead.
Okay, so the voice is Liam Neeson in Taken.
The voice is Liam Neeson in Taken. Okay, I got it.
On the phone?
Yeah,
he says, you know.
Okay, so I guess you can go first, yeah.
Okay, I'm on the phone.
Bond. James Bond.
That's it?
That's it.
That's the line?
That's the line. That's all I have.
To be fair, that's three words.
Yeah,
I mean, he's doing his best.
All right. Oh, 1 second. All right.
Yeah, it takes a little bit to get into it, right?
What we've got here is a failure to communicate.
All right, let's try.
Actually, went pretty well with the pick.
Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
That doesn't sound right.
Had a little Sean Connery in there.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of how it would.
Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
I have a certain set of. I can't do it now. It's just sounding like some. Sounds like George Lopez now. I can't do it. I had it for a second. I actually muted my mic and was practicing so I can get him prepared.
Yeah. I know I didn't.
And then I can't do Liam Neeson. I thought it'd be better because we're here in studio. I could get closer into the mic and all that. I expected better from myself.
Oh, okay.
Well, there's another reason why you might not be able to do Liam Neeson.
Why is that?
Apparently, he has a very large.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
You've never gone down that rabbit hole?
No.
What?
You've never been on Reddit?
No.
What?
Yeah. Apparently, it's him and John Hamm.
Oh, I can imagine John Hamm for
and,
sure. Yeah.
And Milton Berle.
I don't know who that is.
But. He's an old comedian from like the 60s.
Oh, okay.
He just died, didn't he?
Like maybe 5-6 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Something like that.
All right. So, Emily, you get to pick?
I'm going to have to give it to you. You sounded like your daughter's life was most on the line.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yes.
I thought out of the three of us, you sucked the most. Wow. All right. I'll be right back.
This is MZ Now, online at mznow.tv.
Call me on the phone, call me on the phone. Call me on the phone, I'm on the phone. Call me on the phone, A-A-A. MZLIVE5 all day. Call me on the phone, AAA. MZLIVE5 all day. Call me on the phone, I'm on the phone. Call me on the phone, I'm on the phone. Phone, call me on the phone. Call me on the phone, I'm on the phone.
Hello.
Hello, is Mike there?
Who?
Mike Jones.
You got the wrong number.
Is Mike there?
Who?
Mike Jones.
Who?
Mike Jones.
Who?
Mike Jones.
It's a jail, Mike.
Mike Jones.
Who, Michael?
Mike Jones.
I don't know who you're looking for.
Mike Jones.
I can't understand you. Is who there?
Mike Jones.
Who?
Mike Jones.
Who?
Mike Jones.
Who?
Mike Jones.
Huh?
Mike Jones.
Mike Jones.
Mike Jones.
Wrong number. This is not Mike Jones.
Mike Jones.
It's a f***ing loser on Craigslist, man. I can't know why.
Mike Jones.
Michael Zev. How do you say this again?
Test. When my name come up, respect it.
Test. Navala?
Michael Zavella.
Test. Stop playing with my name.
Zavala.
All three of y'all.
You listening to MZ. Test. MZ. Michael Zavala.
Test. I ain't gonna say it no more.
MZ Now.
Hey, this is Stephen Ogg, and you are listening to Michael Zavala.
Online at mznow.tv.
I had my 2-year anniversary checkup this week.
Oh.
2 years?
Yeah, it's already been 2 years. I had a... Emily doesn't know what we're talking about.
I don't.
You probably have seen me on the news. Probably why I look familiar to you.
You had a colonoscopy gone wrong.
Yeah. It was a hysterectomy gone wrong.
You had a hysterectomy gone wrong.
Yeah. No, I fell off a scooter in Deep Ellum 2 years ago on Labor Day. Shattered my leg in about 20 different places. And
what was your blood alcohol level?
Zero.
Zero. Wow. Did the city pick up that tab then?
No.
Wow.
Somebody should be picking up that tab. Mm. But anyway, that's a whole other thing. But no. No, I had to pay for it. The whole thing. It was like 6 months I was on my back.
And damage to the scooter.
You had to pay for
it? No.
I was going to say,
Scooter had like not even a scratch probably.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Me, on the other hand, I was the one that, you know, died.
Yeah, you probably just cleaned the dirt off of it as it ran across your clothes.
So what happened? Did a car like swipe you or something?
No, I ran over like a little...
You would think...
Honestly, that's what they asked me in the hospital.
You're
going they
way
said,
too dramatic.
Yeah. No, I literally just toppled over after losing my balance, running over a little manhole cover at like, I don't know,
10
miles an hour.
I have a story from Deep Ellum where this guy who was like clearly on meth or something accused me of putting him in a snuff film.
What? Really?
Yeah, so this is the story. I was leaving a bar with a friend. He was dropping me off at my car and this like silver Nissan Maxima was like riding like almost swap paint with him. Like he was so close. We're like, whoa, is this guy drunk?
Yeah.
And so we pulled over into a parking lot. This guy pulls over into the parking lot too. Cause I said to my friend, I was like, oh, you must have like swap paint or something. You must have like touched his car. So my friend was getting out of his car to see if there's damage. And the guy was like, you guys have been following me. And we're like, what are you talking about? And he goes, I know who she is. She put me in a snuff film. And I was dead scared for my life. I was I don't know what you're talking about.
We haven't even released it yet.
Yeah. I was like, we're talking to our producers. It's not out yet.
We're doing reshoots.
Yeah. But
the griefer cut.
Yeah. Like, you haven't seen our griefer films, but no, this guy was like, he looked like a clean cut, normal dude, like normal clothes. But he like had this wild look in his eyes that he had to have been on like meth or something because he was dead convinced. And he got out of his car and almost tried to fight my friend. And my friend like got out of his car and like swooped around and like got out of the parking lot. But he was like coming after our car.
Yeah, I have a rule now.
Some wild guy.
I don't go to Deep Ellum after 7. Now that it gets dark early now that we're getting into the wintertime.
Sure.
Like I don't want to die.
Yeah.
You don't go to Deep Ellum at all.
I was in Deep Ellum this weekend, actually, or in the middle of the week.
Why? On a scooter?
For a birthday party. No, I haven't ridden a scooter. That was my first and last time.
A party?
First time, last time. Yeah, I was at a birthday party for somebody I didn't even know.
COVID party. Oh.
I went because somebody told me that a friend of mine was there who I hadn't seen in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Did they owe you money?
No.
Oh, okay.
Did you
That's
owe
why
them
I
money?
Gone.
No. I just haven't seen them in a long time. And I always get alerts from people. Whenever this person pops into a restaurant or bar around town, I'll get alerts telling me, mm-hmm. Oh, so-and-so was here and they were asking about you. It was a friend of mine I haven't seen in a long time. So he
so
was
you
right
got
down
an
the street.
Amber alert.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I went down there and hung out and then I got trapped into this whole birthday thing for a guy that I didn't even know.
Oh my gosh.
I was texting Eric that whole time too.
Yeah, he was.
But anyway, it was fine. But if I didn't have COVID, which I didn't have COVID because I took a COVID test actually.
Did you pass?
Before he went out.
Before I went out.
Yeah.
So if I didn't have COVID then, which I didn't, I definitely have COVID now. I was around the nastiest deep LM people. You know, the big beards, no one's wearing a mask, and anti-maskers, you know, the whole thing. I don't know, like they're licking each other.
Ew.
It's a whole thing.
Ew.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like the Deep LM scum, and I like them. They're good people.
I like Deep LM
they're
scum.
They're rapists. They're, you know, but they're just, it was like the nastiest of the nasty.
Okay.
You know, Deep, there was no like upstanding citizen in that whole area.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean.
And I was at the part of Deep LM, Spider, you know what I'm talking about. I was in the CBC side of Deep LM.
Oh, yeah.
So that's where the rough of the rough go.
That's not even really Deep LM. That's
right.
A whole
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
It's like borderline Fair Park.
Exposition Park.
Exposition Park.
But that's where like all like the bar industry that like, they haven't showered in like 4 or 5 you know, days, but they want to go get their drink on. They go to that side of town because it's less populated. And that's where I was
at.
Yeah,
there's only a couple bars and they're both, you know, pretty filthy.
Yeah.
So answer me this question.
Yes.
How likely, scale of 1 to 10, were you to find some weak ass Coke there? Like in that bar.
Yeah.
Scale 1 to 10. That'll tell us how dirty that bar is right now.
I'll tell you the story right now. I walked into the bathroom and there was a guy there. It looked like Clark Kent.
Okay.
And
sounds
there was a
like
guy
my
there.
Ex.
Yeah. It might have been. There was a guy there. It looked like Clark Kent. And he was in the stall. And this guy is just kind of standing there. And then when I walked in, he kind of acted like he was going to come out. And then he went right back in. And then he goes up to this guy that's at the urinal and says, "Hey, man, I'm a first timer. I couldn't do this." He was giving him back the Coke that he had asked the guy for. And the guy's like, "Here, let me show you how to do it." Very nice. I got to see humanity at its finest.
Wow.
Oh, man.
This guy said, "Let me put it on my key for you."
Yeah, let me show
put
you how to
Coke
do this bump.
On his key. And he said, "Here, dude." It was a very sweet thing.
Oh.
It was like a mother bird.
It was a tender moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a men's bathroom.
And I cried a little bit and then I went to go pee.
Awesome.
And then, that was it.
Did he shake
for him
too?
That's a weeknight occurrence. But if you want the good stuff, you got to go next door. You know what I mean?
And then when I saw him later on that night.
I
know what you mean. And when I saw him later that night, he was on the ground playing with a puppy. And then the puppy left and he stayed on the ground. So
that's the smartest puppy I've ever
heard.
Yeah,
he said, "Hey, I'm a first timer. I don't know how to do it." You know, that's what he was kept saying. But anyway, let's talk about Emily, the comedian. Mm-hmm. Before the show, we were talking that you have only been doing stand-up for about 2.5 years.
Yeah.
But I see your name everywhere. Like all these local shows, they'll have like a lot of these names that I've heard for a long time. And then you, which is a pretty big accomplishment.
Oh, thank you.
I think, right? I mean, I feel like you had to put in a lot of time to be a pretty successful comedian, and you've done it in 2.5 years, really 2 years, because you weren't able to do stand-up during COVID, really.
For sure.
And it's still going on, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
When everything was shut down. So how did you make that leap into doing stand-up?
So I told my parents I wanted to be a stand-up comedian when I was 13. And they kind of laughed because they're like,
"Of course, you're hilarious."
Yeah. No, my sisters are like doctors and lawyers, so they wanted me to do something like that.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to do that. College wasn't for me. And I was kind of like working like menial jobs, doing whatever for a while. And then when I was 26, I was like, man, I'm going to regret this if I never try it. Because I would like watch stand-up every night. I'd listen to stand-up all the time. It was just like something I was obsessed with. So it's like I just went in online and looked up open mics, and I started at Backdoor Comedy Club.
That's where I started.
Yeah. Oh, you did?
But
love
back
Linda.
Way back in the day, like when it was on Ross.
That was before me because I started at the hotel.
Yeah.
So that was, a while ago.
I don't think that building exists anymore. I think they tore it down.
I'm pretty sure.
That's why they went to Doubletree. Yeah.
Yeah. But so I started there, met Linda, met Jan, and I went by myself, and I went almost every night since. Like, I don't really take many days off, maybe one day a week if I feel
like
it.
Your first time going up, was it, did you do well? How did you feel? First off, how many people were in the audience your first night?
Oh,
like 3?
I mean, yeah, it was probably like 3 or 4, and I did not do well. I'm not going to be one of those people who say
you're not Jerry Seinfeld that walked up and killed it the
first
time.
No, absolutely not. It wasn't me, but.
But it didn't discourage you?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't ever discourage me. Those types of things is like failure. It's like, no, that wouldn't bother me.
Oh,
so.
I freak out with stuff like that. Like I went up. So what I did was I went to Backdoor and I would scope out the open mic nights for weeks before I decided to go up.
Yeah.
And then I wrote some material.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first started, I was like 18, and I'm a a late bloomer in a lot of ways in life, right? So like a lot of my jokes were like movies that I had seen when I was a little kid, like Sound of Music or What's Wonderful Life. I was just doing jokes. I couldn't relate to normal 18-year-old things. So I came up with a totally different perspective on a lot of stuff, which really should have worked, but I don't think it really worked for me. And so I got up on stage. I did I did my set. I did pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like fine tuning it and going, at that time, you could only go every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So I would go back. And then one time I did a great set. And it was actually, I was trying to bomb because I figured if I bombed, it did really bad.
Sure.
I was trying to teach myself how to get out of that, mm-hmm. that funk or, you know, if your set's not going well.
Sure.
And I did really well on accident.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember coming off and Linda comes to me and says, hey, how would you like to come in next week? Which was a big deal for me.
Wow. That's
awesome.
So
I'm like, this is great. That means I'm doing well. And so, because the first time I went up, I invited a lot of friends, which is a bad thing to do.
I've never done that. No.
And so everyone came to see me and I said, how did I do? And they all went, you know, it was good because I had done comedy all my life. You know what I mean? So I thought this was the next evolutionary step.
Yeah.
This is what I should be doing stand up now.
Yeah.
Although this is more my speed. I like being in doing comedy this way versus being the center of attention and all eyes on me. But I thought at 18, I thought that's what I got to do next. Mm-hmm. I got to go to LA. I got to do all this stuff. The next time I went in, after Linda invited me to come back the next week, I did the exact same set and I didn't feel it. It just didn't do well.
Sure.
And I just didn't like it. And I didn't like going up every week saying the same jokes.
Yeah.
Because if I didn't find it funny anymore, then I didn't feel right. It's like a salesman. Like I can't sell something I don't believe in.
Yeah.
And that's what I felt like. And it was very difficult for me to write new material.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why am I forcing myself to do this? I appreciate I get the high that comedians normally get. I like it, but I don't, it's not for me.
Yeah.
If I could take these guys up there and we could all do a whole thing, that'd be one thing. But me, myself up there telling jokes, I never want to be the guy at the party standing up, everyone looking at me telling a joke. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think most comedians aren't that way.
Yeah.
Like most of my friends in comedy are not the people who are the center of attention at parties.
Right.
The only time they're doing that is when they're in the parking lot outside of the club trying to like make each other laugh
right.
and like tell each other jokes. And they want to be the funniest one then.
It's like a competition between peers at that point.
Yeah, that's really what it is. But and I'm not even that way. I don't want to be the center of attention, like social interactions. I don't really like big groups. Like I like small, more intimate things. And like even at clubs now, it's like I'm much less worried about my set. I'm more worried about my interactions with the managers after or like talking to audience members after. Like now I'm at the point where it's like I feel very comfortable whether I bomb or do well, no matter what. It's like I'm happy doing it. So I don't really think about, I don't really have as much anxiety around going up and performing anymore.
Yeah. No, that was a great thing about it too. Cause I get stage fright. All my life I've got stage fright,
mm-hmm.
but I would go up and you tell that first joke and you get a laugh and then it's gone.
Yeah.
And I think at some point I will return to stand-up comedy. I think when I get older and have a little bit more life under my belt. So I'm always amazed at people that go up and continue to do it, which you have continuously for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Where do you see yourself doing this for the rest of your life, or do you see this doing something else after stand up, like maybe writing for a sitcom or whatever?
I wouldn't be opposed to being like a part of a writing room or like submitting packets to TV shows. Mm-hmm. It's more so like I'm at this point where it's like when I have conversations with my comedian friends and they're workshopping bits, I can write in their voice and give them tags for their jokes. So I wouldn't be opposed to writing for like a TV show, but that's not really my route. Like I really do want to do the road and I want to like get to a point where I can make a full-time living just doing stand up. And like a lot of my friends ask me that and like, oh, would you want to get into acting or would you do like other things kind of like that? Like podcasting maybe. I was like, yeah, maybe I would, but I just don't have that much of an interest in it the way I like stand up. I like the mental challenge that stand up is.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that and I get very bored very quickly.
Yeah.
So certain things would really not stimulate me. I become resentful and I wouldn't want to do it.
That's the other thing about stand up that I was like, I don't really like this. I don't like traveling. I don't like going all these clubs and all this stuff. And then they have, you know, some clubs are really just, you know, pieces of crap. It's like that part of Deep Ellum that I was
in. Hey, yeah. I mean, that's the gamble for sure.
Yeah. And I don't want to do all that and be there. And, you know, it's a whole thing. It seems like a lot of work to dedicate to that
mm-hmm.
that I don't want to put in.
Yeah,
you
no,
know what I mean?
For sure.
I'd rather put in the same amount of work creating something and do it for this show.
Yeah, absolutely.
In an environment where I can relax and put my feet up and all that. It's really cool. And especially, you don't really see a lot of, locally,
yeah,
you don't see a lot of girl comedians.
Yeah, I would say in our scene that I can think of off the top of my head, we probably have 20 to 25 active
That's
female comedians.
Great. Yeah.
And then for the male comedians, I'd say we probably have anywhere. And I say active, but this is just my interpretation of what active is.
Yeah.
Like, I would say people who are going up at least once a month. That's because, you know, especially with everything going on right now, like
yeah.
people take time off. There's no judgment there at all with that. I would say there's probably
myself active and I haven't been up in like 10 years, but
I would say there's probably about 250 male comedians.
Yeah.
That I would say actively wow. that I can think of.
And what do you think that is? What do you think stops women from going into stand up?
At least from my experience, I definitely won't speak for everyone, but
go ahead and speak for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's just like, that's not like being funny isn't a trait that like women are taught to be valued.
Yeah.
Like I grew up in a very traditional Catholic home and I have a lot of sisters, but like we were never taught to be funny. It was like, you have to be smart and pretty and quiet. And it's like those very traditional roles. And it's like, pushing humor as a value in women is just not something our society does.
Yeah.
That's like a very male trait. So I just think a lot of women aren't told that it's an option.
Yeah.
Like when I was 13 and I told my parents I wanted to be a stand-up comedian, they kind of like laughed it off. They weren't like telling me not to do it. It just wasn't an idea in their mind of like a linear
like,
way of how a woman could do
it. It was
that.
Like when I was a kid and I was telling my parents I wanted to be a bodybuilder or a police officer or a fireman,
sure.
something heroic, they laughed at me.
No, but also that has
I want to be a teacher
though.
Or a doctor and they
yeah.
laugh at me. A lot of female comedians seem to take this route because I guess it's easier to cut through. And it's usually like the real crass route. You know, it's like a lot of guys do it too. But
like Lisa Lampanelli.
Lampanelli. Not that extreme okay. anymore, but you know, a lot of comedians take that route. Like Amy Schumer.
Yeah.
I've followed Amy Schumer for years.
Mm-hmm.
And Amy is an incredibly smart and funny comedian.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what pays the bills is the raunchy stuff. That's not mm-hmm. who she really is in real life.
Yeah.
You know, she can do a lot better than that. But that's what people want to see.
Sure.
Do you want to see a change in that? Like an audience like respond to? I watched some girl the other day. I don't remember what her Taylor something. You know what I'm talking about?
Taylor Tomlinson?
Yes.
Yeah.
She's hilarious without having to do all of that.
Yeah. She also grew up in like the Christian circuit. So the way
she had to make her material like that.
Yeah. The way she learned to write was to write cleaner.
Right.
So I think that's just her natural muscle in her brain is to start that way and then move towards more dirty things.
Yeah.
If that's what she wants. If that's where she wants the direction to go.
Right.
But just like her natural.
But
like,
even when she talked yeah. about some more crass stuff. She did it in a...
There's a more elusive tone to it. There's not as much like direct words with
right.
like...
Which I think is...
Body parts and actions.
Right.
More
she kind of alludes
innuendo.
To it. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think she does really well. So what is your take on all that? That's just me from the outside looking in, seeing that there's so many talented people there. Why do we
sure.
always go for the low-hanging fruit? You know what I mean? And it goes with the guys too.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot of guys that go up there and just will do dick jokes.
Yeah.
What's your take on it?
I think that the more that women do it, the more the female experience in general is going to get out there and people will understand what a woman's life is like day to day. So when people say low hanging fruit, I just take it more of, and I talk to my male peers about this too. It's like when they're like, oh, I hate that I'm doing these types of jokes or I don't really know how to move past this. It's like, you just have to write and push through the like
yeah.
you got to push through all of that. You have to get all of that out of your system to then move forward and
I
then
see.
Do the things that you really want to do. I don't
yeah.
think it's these people are looking for the low hanging fruit. They would need to get all this out of their system. This is what they know people like relate to right off the bat.
Right.
And then they can expand into who they are.
Yeah.
Because it's really difficult to get a crowd on board with you when you're talking about more complex issues.
Right.
When you can't even establish the basic parts of who you are as a person.
Yeah.
So it's like to get through that really low-hanging fruit or the very like basic things.
Right.
Everyone has to go through that. I don't
yeah.
think that's something that is exclusive. What I think maybe that you have experienced or seen
mm-hmm.
is that women who've maybe gotten to that point, maybe who've gotten frustrated, maybe who've lost the touch for wanting to keep going through stand-up comedy and just maybe never progress beyond that.
I see. Yeah.
So that's my interpretation
yeah.
of it.
Because I always want to, you know how many funny people I know that I've even suggested
mm-hmm.
do stand-up.
Yeah.
Why not? You can do
yeah.
it. But I think that there's something, like you said, it's kind of not groomed in them to be funny, or that it's okay to be
okay,
funny.
Okay, you're a man saying groomed, I feel uncomfortable.
Oh,
yeah. I know.
I'm just kidding.
It may be just joking.
Yeah.
Especially looking at your face wearing
right.
that shirt.
But I'm wearing this shirt, so it's okay. But you know what I mean? It's like,
sure.
And it's sad to me because I want to see more. There's I know more women that are funnier than guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
So why aren't they going out there and making money or being writers or, you know, whatever? That's what I want to see.
Yeah, I would want to see that too. But then also it's like you're talking about like goals for a professional career, mm-hmm. but that may not line up with what their goals are for a personal career. Because right. a lot of women still want to get married and have kids.
That's
and
true. Yeah.
Stand up just isn't the lifestyle for that.
Yeah.
You can't go on the road when you're 9 months pregnant.
Right. Or you like, could.
You could if you had the options, but
surprise.
A lot of women don't have that option.
Right.
So it's kind of like lining those up. I don't personally want to have kids. So that's not something that I think about. But I know a lot of women who do. So that is like kind of hindering where maybe what they think their goals are in life.
I don't know. I feel like an old man taking my old values and just talking about it. Does it seem weird?
Well, what do you think I feel like then?
No, I just did that seem that
No.
You're, asking those questions that did I?
No. You're
no.
You're
did
right.
I didn't feel. I'm not asking.
It was just the word groom.
No, I was just kidding. About
no, the
groom.
Whole. I know. Yeah. I know. But the whole thing, I just felt like is that it's appropriate today's standard. I just feel like that's a real issue, and I wanted to bring it up.
We've been told that if we're going to progress as a society, you have to have uncomfortable conversations, right?
I wasn't uncomfortable.
Well, but I mean,
was it uncomfortable?
But I mean, okay. but like these kind of conversations.
So I want to see the change.
Can kind
of. There's not a lot of change I want to see, to be honest with you, in the world.
All right,
but this is something I want to see.
So you are voting for Trump?
If all right, here's what I'm going to say. If more female, if there are more female comics, I will not vote for Trump.
If there are more female comics, you'll.
So, ladies, you have to start right now.
Yeah,
you have 3 months.
Right.
Yeah,
start right.
I've been doing that. I've been holding that over people's heads so I can get what I want.
Right.
Now, COVID has presented an entirely different situation in performing. You've had to do live comedy on Zoom and stuff like that. Has that been awkward?
I don't do Zoom shows.
Okay, good.
I don't like them.
Could you imagine?
Some people like them.
Oh.
That's to each his own. I see the value in Zoom shows if you want to do character development. But as far as like the delay with the response from crowds, the feedback, I don't personally, at least where I'm at in my skill level in writing, I don't see how I could develop material and feel good about putting something online that I'm not happy with. And it's a mic. It's recorded. No matter what people say, it's on a stream. It's online. It's out there.
Yeah.
So you can say something that you haven't fleshed out completely that can come across as insensitive or God knows however people would take offense to it. I personally wouldn't put myself out there in that way. I don't see the gain from it. And the thing that I kind of mentioned to my peers when they're like kind of on the fence, like, I don't know if I should do it. I'm like, do whatever you want. But there is a reason a lot of really, really big name celebrities aren't taking advantage of Zoom.
Right.
It's like, yeah, you could have people watching, they'd pay. But like, if you're a true like comedian and you want to work towards that, you aren't going to get what you need from it. Like,
right.
You just won't get it from Zoom. So it's like, maybe some people do it for money, and I get it. Times are tough. There's no judgment there, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't put myself out there.
It would be
like
very, I couldn't do that either.
And I've told friends who've asked me, I was like, hey, Zoom shows aren't for me. No offense. You do what you want to do. Like, that's just not me.
What did you do during the times you couldn't perform? Were you writing?
I would write. Yeah, I'd write every day. I would go over my sets, or I would just honestly, I would read books because you have to become a better reader to become a better writer. So I would do that, take time off.
What kind of books? Just any books?
Yeah, any books, like self-help books, you know, fiction, nonfiction, just like anything that's like in my current interest.
Just keeping that reading muscle current.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's like, if I want to come across as genuine on stage, I have to learn how to read in other voices to be able to communicate those ideas to people.
Yeah.
Like, I need to interpret that and be able to make it my own.
Yeah.
And also, I would just watch stand-up. Like, there's a lot of people now where it's like, when I watch stand-up, I can figure out their formula, and I'm not like not laughing. Like, I know they're funny material, but I'm more deciding. I'm like, do I like how this is done? What can I take from this person?
You're dissecting it. You're like Rain Man.
Yeah.
You're watching something. You're doing all these calculations.
Yeah. Like those football coaches who watch their plays. It's like, I do that, but just like when I watch stand up.
Yeah. That's so much work. That's so much more work than I want to put into it. Let's talk about our friend Paul Varghese, who is, I would say, the Dallas comedian.
Absolutely. I met Paul probably 2 years ago, like a little after I started at an outdoor mic in Deep Ellum.
Had you seen him before?
I had not seen him before I started stand up, but yeah, he's an absolute local legend, and I've seen him like no matter where he's at on a show, it's like he always destroys, and yeah. I'm so jealous. Like yeah. he's just his brain is just on another level. I can't comprehend.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like I had seen when I first started doing stand up at Backdoor, he was always there.
Yeah.
Just hanging around. I didn't know he was a comedian. I thought he worked there. Like he was like a concessions guy. And
did you ask him to get you?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, hey, sir, I need a napkin. And but I would never. I didn't know who he was. And then my friend saw him. We were walking in because I was scoping out the place.
Sure.
And he said, "Oh, this guy was on Last Comic Standing just recently. I saw the whole thing. I was, oh, cool. That's you know. But I'd never seen him perform. Years go by, and I would always see him around comedy stuff. Never saw him perform. And then I used to go to this little place called Vickery Park, which was a bar off of Henderson at the time. It's gone. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
And Paul would come in.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I decided that I would talk to him because I would always see him. And then I realized he was a comedian and I'd still never seen him perform. So we had this whole really nice discussion. And then some other comedians were in town and we ended up just all hanging out. It was a brunch deal. And then this guy stole my jokes and then did it on his
Hell
show.
Yeah.
So over the years, I would just talk to Paul at Vickery Park. And then he moves in with my friend Dell, who's on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be over at Dell's house, and he would just give me like, a, hey, man, how's it going? And that was it. That's literally, it's just been bar talks and just passing in the hallway at my friend's house.
Yeah.
And then, but I really love Paul. Like, I really want to have like a, first off, I don't think I've ever had a conversation with Paul when he's sober. Is he sober now? I think he was sober for a little bit.
I mean, I've only seen him drink at night, so maybe he's sober during the day.
I've never talked to him during the day, then apparently.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know who Paul really is as a human being. So I would love to have a conversation with Paul as in a real setting. I've just never had that yet. And I've only seen him perform once. He invited me to his, he did this a few years ago. It was the bar crawl. I can't say that.
Wow.
I went to see you on a ball crawl.
Yeah. Well, that's on. You got to sign up for my OnlyFans.
Is that in Oaklawn area? The ball crawl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Sorry.
It's plastered all over the street, actually.
Yeah.
It's in Silver City.
Oh, wait a minute.
But he would do a set at one place for like 10 minutes, and then we'd go to another place, and he would do a set.
Yeah, I've heard about those.
And that was the first time I ever saw him perform. I'm like, he's amazing. Because if you talk to Paul on his own, he doesn't seem like he's going to be that funny. He's just a regular guy, kind of, you know?
Right.
But when he goes up on stage, totally different guy. And I think he's hilarious.
He's hilarious, but also when you talk to Paul, Paul is really digesting everything you're saying. It's like...
Well, not when he was drunk. Like I said,
But no, it's like when I talk to Paul, he's very much like... You can tell he really like thoughtfully thinks out the things he says. Whether he's making jokes or having a serious conversation.
Yeah.
He always like is really taking it in and is like very present in that moment. And that's something that I think is really crucial for being good at stand-up is being present and just like letting the things flow that come out of you naturally, whatever feelings good or bad.
Yeah.
Because that's that top of mindness that like when you write a good punchline or have that little bit of innuendo right there, right above a crowd's head where they really respond to it.
Yeah.
And they go wild for that. And it's like, he's just natural like with that. And he's so good at it. And it's like, wow, that's something I really need to hone in on.
Yeah.
And I admire that about him.
I'm not present at all. Again, that's probably that's another issue. Like I have a lot of issues. There's a lot of things against me that I wouldn't be a good stand-up comic.
Yeah, I mean, I know you're a hologram right now. I don't know where your real body is at this moment. But no, it's definitely...
I hacked my Siri, and that's who you're talking to right now.
No, we all struggle with that. Like, I'm not above that either, so I totally understand where you're coming from. But, like, he's very good about that.
By the way, I do stalk you a lot online
because
I like to see your jokes and stuff. And you are a very funny person. Like, she had some joke the other day. Just, like, little... Back when Twitter first started, we were all, like, trying to tweet little jokes to get, you know, viral or whatever.
Yeah.
And none of mine were any good. In fact, if I go back now, they're probably all offensive. But,
are we trying to cancel you right now?
Yeah. If you go back... Oh, you said this in 2010.
Spider, bring it up.
About
it up.
Woodpeckers. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you said something the other day. I thought it was funny. You were, like, vaping... People that are wearing masks are vaping. Now, how did you say it?
Oh, it was like vaping while you're wearing a mask is like starting your car with the garage door shut.
Yeah.
Like people.
Such a great observation. Like, I wish I could do that. I wish I could be that funny, but I'm not. Clark is his bucket list item pre-COVID was to be, to do stand up, not to necessarily be a stand up comedian.
Yeah, I just want to give it a whirl.
Like, do you see this personality, like this draw, like Andy Griffith type of, kind of backwoods hillbilly.
You definitely got the Pete Holmes type demeanor.
Yeah.
Like, I get it.
Yeah.
All right.
So, you know, I feel like that could kind of work for you. I don't know about the jokes, though, but we'll work through that. But he wants to go up. We decided we would do a virtual comedy show for him. We'll do something.
I know some outdoor mics that might be more beneficial. If but you want to do
but
virtual.
But then real people will be there, though, and you know he might get discouraged.
Just tell me the night that it's less busy. Night. I'll go that night.
All right.
Or go to the busiest night.
Oh, my God. And just get run out of there?
Yeah.
Like they actually.
No one's going to run you out.
Do they actually have that hook that you see in the cartoons where they yank you outside?
Oh, no, I wish. I would have done that to all my friends. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, I used to run a mic, so I would absolutely do that.
What is the thing that's keeping you from doing stand-up at this point?
Well, I mean, there's a little bit of nerves.
Well, you drink. So yeah,
that's true.
That issue's a moot point.
Well, first of all, and this is something that actually the podcast has helped me get over, is that I actually hate the sound of my voice.
Oh, I hate my sound.
Oh, we hate it too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you.
like Hank Hill, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's just so weird how your voice sounds.
What the fuck?
naturally coming out of your throat, like from my brain, and then you hear it like recorded on a phone, like in a video that your friend will shoot. Now, this is a little bit different because it's professionally recorded and you can actually hear some bass in my voice. So that like kind of helped me get over.
Yeah, you should hear the shows that we've done when he's at his house.
Oh, no, it's awful.
Sounds like in a CB radio.
Yeah, I'm like in the cave with Bin Laden.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah. But there's a little bit of nerves. There's a little bit of me having relevant material.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the whole idea of, well, this is funny to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or this is funny to my friends.
Yeah.
Don't look at me, because I don't think you're funny.
Well,
yeah.
So, but then it's like, how is a whole audience going to react? Because I would think that a success rate of a joke would be, you want at least 70% of the people in the audience to laugh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, but Anthony Jeselnik says, and I admire him a lot because I like his dark humor and the way he sets up punchlines is very ingenious. But he says, he's like, I won't use 95% of the things that I've ever written.
Wow.
He only uses 5%.
Yeah.
It's like, not that, you know, maybe some things could work here, there, this club, that club, like whatever. But he's just like, it's the constant like trying and failing.
Right.
And the things that you're
working. Which I'm not bad at failing.
Oh, you know, no, that's not it. It's just like.
I mean, you should see his whole life.
Yeah.
We're
and
here,
dating.
But no, the thing that like. I always tell people anytime they tell me like they legitimately want to start and want to do it. I was like, you have to have it in you to do it. You have to go alone. Don't bring friends because they're not going to give you the honest truth. No
oh, we'll be there.
They
I will. I'll give them the honest truth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Eric will. Yeah.
But
he gives me the honest truth every week. So.
Yeah. He doesn't ask for it.
I mean this in the most freeing way possible. People will not remember.
Wear some better clothes. Oh,
yeah,
wear a better fitting shirt.
They will not remember what you said 5 minutes after you get off stage.
Right.
The open mic is so fast, whether you're first or last, no one's going to remember. And also all the comics that maybe you're worried about, like, I want them to like me. I want them to think I'm funny. I want to be a part of this group. Like, a lot of people get caught up in that too. They're not thinking about their jokes either. We are so inwardly focused.
Right.
We are only thinking about ourselves and beating ourselves up for what we didn't like, what we wish we would have said, how we messed this up. It's so freeing. They don't think about it. Like, as much as like we get in our own heads of what other people are going to think, people don't care. And once you like really let that go, no matter what you say, whether you bomb or do well, like you will be able to then do it again.
Yeah.
Like, you'll be able to harness it again. And once you get that in your head, like, it's not going to be the same. It's not going to be
scary. And not to like, I'm sure it's way different, but you know, I have no problem going up in a bar and doing karaoke. And I'm not a great singer.
There's no vulnerability in that though.
Right.
Because it's all everyone else's song.
Sure.
Your voice doesn't have to be good because it's, it's
but
a
that's
joke.
Like
that's karaoke. Mm-hmm.
But
it's
like
not
I
serious.
But I'm also a waiter. So I have to approach strange people every day.
Right.
Sure.
And
yeah.
So like there's like a whole.
You try your material out on them?
No.
Hey, what's the deal?
That's what you would do.
I would.
What's the deal with this appetite?
Have you ever thought about, you know, Jerry Seinfeld is coming out with a whole new book. Like, I think with his old bits that he didn't use in October.
Yeah, that's
just take
doing.
That book and just do his jokes and see how well that works. Because you know the jokes are written well.
Probably.
Just, read it on stage. Take the cover off. Like, just do that.
Just,
like,
it'll be
good. You know what's so funny? When you go to stand-ups or open mics, like a lot of people have, a lot of jokes are pretty much the same because there's only so many ways you can say things, right? So you would see like every other every third guy would have the exact same set as the guy, you know, three people before him. So I always thought it'd be funny to go up and just do the exact same set when I doing an open mic that the guy did before me. Like, exactly. Like,
I've done that before. I'll do it as a joke. Like, I'll memorize my friend's bits and then do it either right before or right after they go.
Oh, I forgot to say about it.
Yeah, going back and then to they Paul get Varghese. So pissed. Yeah,
but it's funny. The audience would love it. You know,
oh, they would think it's funny, but my friend would get mad, and that's the only reason I'm doing it.
I told Paul one day, mad. Paul Varghese, that Varghese or Varghese?
Paul Varghese is that's how I
Voorhees.
Know it.
Paul V.
Yeah.
Voorhees. Yeah. For a while, people would confuse me, and by the way, I look nothing like Paul.
Yeah, you're a different shade of brown.
Yeah,
it's not.
By the way, I just learned I'm a people of color. I didn't realize that, so now I get offended by everything now. So I would be out and people would either confuse me with Aziz Ansari, which
still
again,
not the same color. No,
don't look anything like Aziz Ansari or Paul Varghese. And I would get that for a whole summer. I would get that. And I told Paul that he goes, who are the girls coming up to you that would say, I said, just drunk, trashy white girls. He goes, that's my type. And then I said, so here's what I did. I memorized lines from your jokes and I would say, oh, thank you. I would never tell them I wasn't Paul Varghese. And I would just do a couple of lines from his jokes and I would do his whole bit. And then he got a little annoyed because I was doing his bit right in front of him at a bar.
Honestly, because you're probably getting free drinks for it. I mean,
not me.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh, wow. They were just saying them right then.
No.
That's really what
I would. I would always pick the ones that he had one. I don't remember what it was. It was like, I hate flying on a plane with earbuds in because you don't know if I'm listening to music or listening to instructions. Eric doesn't get it. It's a terrorist thing. It's a terrorist joke.
Oh.
Yeah. Maybe that's why. I probably shouldn't have used that joke.
Yeah.
On drunk girls.
Right. One girl, her whole shirt just dropped off when she saw it was Paul Varghese.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's not it. We were in line going to someplace else and she's like, oh my gosh, are you Paul Varghese? Yes, I am. Sometimes I don't. I did this whole thing about being
earbuds on an airplane.
Yeah.
So
waka waka, and then her shirt falls off.
Oh my God. So should I try out some of my material?
Yeah, you got a professional.
Oh, I got,
right here.
I got one thing. All
okay.
Right?
Okay.
One thing.
Here we
that
go.
I had,
you know what? See, here's what I'm gonna do. Hang on. I gotta give you some reverb here.
All right.
So it sounds like you're on stage.
Okay.
Can we get some audience?
Now I don't know how I would.
Yeah, we got
I don't know how I would segue into this joke, and I don't know what I would take away out of it or get out of it, but you know, I was thinking the other day, you know how when
don't start yet. Okay. We got to give you a whole introduction.
Yeah.
Open mic night here. Emily, I'm going to give you a little, like you're going to do a, you're emceeing this night, right? You're hosting it.
Hey, you guys, we're at the Club MZ now.
Hey, yes.
How you guys doing?
Please buy, it's a 2-item minimum here. Please buy a drink.
And then you're going to introduce Clark, and then Clark's going to come up, and then you're going to judge him.
Okay, you guys, next coming to the stage, you guys know him, you love him, you've seen him all around town. Give it up for Clark.
Ah, thank you, thank you. So good to be here at the MZ Comedy Club. So, you know when you're growing up and the teacher tells you you shouldn't run with scissors? Well, why don't they ever tell you to not scissor when you have the runs? And that's it.
What was the one we told you to do? You remember it?
No, because it was just like kind of like, I don't know. I don't remember.
What was it? Do you remember it was in our meeting? And I said, Eric or Spider said,
attention.
You should do that as your joke.
It was something about Lubies.
Oh, something about Lubies.
It was
and
the Joe Shaw joke. Joe's listening, I'm sure.
Oh, that's right.
It was Lubies ended at like, you know, 70 years. And it was something about the average age of the...
Of the
clientele.
Yeah. Something about geriatrics right, and Lubies. But
so let's try that. Make that into a joke and then do it for him.
I don't remember. I don't remember this.
Well, I just told you. I told you the whole structure of the joke.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. The lube. Here's how you do it.
Lube.
Let me show you.
Lube.
Here we go.
Just say lube.
You guys, this is how I would do it. First off, I would go up and wipe the mic off.
Okay. Yeah, you should.
I would go to the
and
bathroom.
And then you'd hump the stool.
I wouldn't. I don't do the hump stool. I'm, okay. I was raised Baptist. I'm better than that.
Okay.
I would go.
Yeah, I was raised Catholic, so you have to do the stool face to face.
Oh yeah,
missionary.
So I would go to the bathroom. I'd grab toilet paper. I would go up, and my first thing was I'd wipe me off the mic.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would go. So I saw on the news the other day, Lubies is closing down after 70 years, which is funny because that's the average clientele of their. Oh, I've screwed it up. Sorry.
Yeah.
But at least, you know, that you at least get the idea of how you should do it. But anyway, how did your parents, because, you know, you said you grew up in a kind of a traditional Catholic family.
Yeah.
Do your parents get offended by some of the jokes that you say? Or are you worried about your parents listening to some of the, because I'm always worried about some of the jokes that I've done over the years or some of the bits that I do.
No, I don't worry about that per se. They haven't seen me do stand up in 2 years. They saw me like after 6 months after I started, and then they've never come to.
And
a
you were
show
doing
since.
Your Bill Cosby joke, like it was all
yeah,
clean
absolutely.
At that point.
I was wearing the sweater, yeah. And I spiked everyone's drinks,
right?
And
then you went back and showed yourself to a bunch of people, like Louis
yeah,
C.K.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I'm like, no one will believe you.
Yeah,
no, but it's
tell anybody you want. Nobody will ever listen.
No, it's just they're like supportive in that way that they're like they're very hands off. They're like, yeah. We want you to be happy, like do what you want. But they're not like, let's go to the shows and stuff. Like they're very like traditional Germans where they're like, we're not going to say we love you or we're proud of you.
Right.
It's like as long as you're making money and you're doing it and like you're putting your all into it, like they're happy for me.
Yeah.
But that's like the level of support I need. Like I can't be getting too much love. Like I won't be motivated.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just like you can't do this if you're like getting validation from people who are your closest to you.
Yeah.
That's why you have to get it from strangers.
So great. It's so great to meet you. No, it's great. It's yeah. like this whole thing has been great. We're way over time,
sure.
But you were just so interesting and I had a bunch of questions to ask and yeah. it was great. So what would you give Clark?
Yeah.
What would you score him 1 to 10?
On your open mic bit?
Yeah.
I would give feedback in the sense of don't say you know right off the top because you're already trying to convince them of an idea that's very common,
okay.
like don't run with scissors. You could just say, when I was a kid, they told me not to run with scissors, but how come they didn't tell me I shouldn't scissor when I have the runs? That's a joke that when I hear that at open mics...
You turn it, you immediately leave.
Yeah, I would throw up and then...
Hell yeah.
No, but like people just go... Oh, like it's not like it's not the laugh you're looking for. It's more of like the shock. Oh, people are like, oh, like what?
Well, I
like,
wouldn't necessarily open up with that.
No, for sure. But I'm just saying that's going to be the reaction to it. But I've heard worse jokes. So
yeah,
we'll say 5 out of 10.
All right.
You're literally the guy we were talking about earlier mm-hmm. that comes out with the low hanging fruit. That's you.
Well, you know,
you got to get out of your system though.
Sure, sure. Well, I mean, you know,
get all that diarrhea joke out of your system.
Right. Well, and then
you can craft the really smart humor that we know you can do.
Right.
Like the Luby's joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really good.
What I like about the Luby's joke.
You should be a Jerry yeah. Seinfeld tribute comedian and you just go up and do Jerry Seinfeld jokes. That's what I'm going to be. I'm going to be the Paul Varghese tribute comedian. Oh, you can't see Paul Varghese?
They do it with music.
They did it with music.
Yeah. Do it with music. You might as well try.
Do it with comedy.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
I'll just do it, and I'll do all of Paul's jokes. You do all Jerry's jokes, and we'll go on the road together.
Yeah,
Paul and Jerry, with an asterisk, because we're not really Paul and Jerry.
Maybe
like you've never seen them before.
Literally,
yeah, we're the Wish brand of comedians.
Yeah, great value.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. Go back to you wouldn't start. Is that all the critique you had for him?
Oh no! And then the Luby's joke when you said that they're closing after 7 years is like, oh, I didn't know. A restaurant could write its own obituary. Like that's like kind of
that's really great. That's what, yeah.
Because all those people are old, they're gonna die. It's like that's weird if you see your favorite restaurant next to your best friend, like in the obituary.
I like
it's
the
like,
whole
that's
thing.
Weird.
I like your whole thing, your whole mannerism. Like you just got that way. You were born to be a comedian.
Very rude. Yes.
No, not even rude. You have like we have a friend of the show. She was worked on the show. She was very. She reminds me a lot like you, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
It was very kind of like the way it comes out is very dry and serious.
I feel like
it's very smart at the same time.
Sarah's more dry though.
Sarah's a lot more dry. It's like, yeah. She's like a The Office character.
Like she has no expression. She'll be sitting there, just no expression.
Yeah.
And just,
I love that.
Yeah. You two would actually get along just fine. I think.
We're actually best friends.
Yeah.
She texted me about this today.
Perfect. Where can we find you online? Where can other people stalk you online?
Oh, you can just follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. It's all at Emily Griefer, G-R-E-F-E-R. That's all. I keep it all very simple.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then are you have any upcoming dates?
I'm going to be at Tupps Brewery in McKinney on October 2nd.
And I'm sorry.
The Amphibian Theater.
Isn't that your neck of the woods?
Bill.
McKinney? No. That's kind of far
away. Spiders?
No.
It's north.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm north too, but I'm north and very
do you live
west.
In McKinney now?
No.
All y'all live in these redneck areas.
I live in Addison.
So I get all confused.
Yeah. Look at that. You think that says McKinney?
He said all of us live in those redneck areas.
Yeah.
Mine, you're the furthest one out.
Mine's getting more hood, though. It's starting to feel more comfortable. I feel more at home there with my little kid shirts.
Okay.
But I'm sorry, you're going to be where again? Sorry.
No, you're fine. Yeah, just Tepps Brewery in McKinney on October 2nd. And then I have, there's this comedy festival called the Amphibian Comedy Festival. It's a theater in Fort Worth. So they're having that on October 30th and 31st. So I'll be there. But that's all I have on the books for right now.
Cool. Well, it's great to meet you.
I've had great to meet y'all. I had a good time today.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Trying to think of anything else I need to plug before we... Oh, yeah. Ken Scott from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles will be on next week talking about his new book. And I think that's it. We'll see you next week.
This is MZ Now, online at mznow.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MZNow.